Now, back to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here, the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS. We have sent Tom Crawford on his way. He needs to pick up Cody and head down to the big house. And it's important he do that now because we've received word. Andrea Nelson just got a phone call from one of our listeners that there is a tremendous traffic accident, I understand, if a traffic accident can be tremendous. And that is on eastbound I-96 between exits 117 and 122, so just east of Williamston. And it is also affecting traffic heading westbound towards Spartan Stadium, but the primary blockage would be eastbound, and you may want to consider alternate routes. That may mean taking Grand River and taking surface streets until you get close to Howell. It may mean taking US 127 and I-94 if you are headed toward Ann Arbor today. And I think a lot of fans from this area, and there are a ton of Michigan fans here, will still be making that pilgrimage to Ann Arbor, and maybe they'll take a defense with them. Want to bring in our guest, Dr. John Braccio, Regional Psychological Services, drjohnb.com. Hello, John.
Well, hello there, Jack. A beautiful but cool sunny day. It's a good day for football.
Absolutely, and I just want you to know that Tom Crawford's original plan was to be here to talk to you. He said, I'm heading down early because I'm taking people down, but I'm not leaving until Dr. John B's segment is over, and then we got that traffic report, and he didn't want to be stuck for 5 hours on I-96.
Well, I was going to ask him about going to sleep during a Michigan football game. I have to admit, not since the fall of Rome after 1,000 years have I heard of anything so significant. That's amazing, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. Well, falling asleep during a Michigan football game, whoever would have thought it would come to that. You talk about the fall of Rome. We've seen that at Minnesota. Maybe Minnesota was Rome back in the early 1960s, but the Gophers have gone longer than any other Big Ten team without a Rose Bowl appearance. Now, we're talking about close to 50 years, almost Lion-esque in their ineptitude.
Well, you know, Mason really almost had him there, and they really won a lot of games, went to a lot of bowls with him. You know, Minneapolis is a beautiful city. It's a great area. You know, it's cold, but, you know, if recruiting in the Midwest, I still think that's a potential real winner up there, Jack. You know, beautiful location, beautiful facility, big city. I'm a Big Ten guy, so I'd like to see them,
right,
you know, really, really win. And they were close with Mason, who to this point was clearly the best they had.
Yeah, 8 wins wasn't nearly enough, and they found out that it isn't quite as easy as they thought. But I want to talk about the psychological aspect of attracting players to a program like Minnesota. John, you don't have the tradition to point to. You can talk about that big Rose Bowl appearance in 61, but you know, other than that, 62, it gets very difficult. And you've got a new stadium, a beautiful facility up there, but not a lot of players from the state of Minnesota. And in that situation, you're going to be recruiting out of state. Psychologically, how do you get people to believe and take that leap of faith to come play for Coach X in Minneapolis?
Well, I think a couple things. One, you know, I thought Brewster was going to do fine, to tell you the truth, so I was wrong on that one. He certainly had a lot of charisma. I think you get a coach in there that believes in what he can do and probably has been successful. That's probably a good idea. Get in somebody who's had success and someone who knows the recruiting base well and just bring people there. Like I say, it's a big city. It's a nice city. It's a beautiful area. Minnesota fans are polite, they're good, they're fanatic, they want to win. And I think it's a great base to be working at. And I think if you say, hey, you come here, we can build. Those who stay can be champions. I actually think Minnesota can be an upper division Big Ten team just with all the facilities they have and someone who can really get it going well. And one thing about Brewster, I do believe he's recruited pretty well overall. So whoever comes in there will not come in with a bare cupboard. That's my opinion, but I do follow what they've been doing. He can certainly bring players in. So I think they definitely can win. Let's see what happens.
When you start the season, with a come-from-behind win over Middle Tennessee State, and then you lose to South Dakota. It tends to crush whatever fan support you have.
That's true.
I want to talk a little bit about Michigan State's situation, because they were 8-0 last week, and you were there in Iowa City. You saw what happened. You saw the carnage. And Kirk Cousins played by far his worst game. As you suggested, it was almost like Brian Hoyer in the bowl game, where some of the defenders were invisible. He made throws that you would not ask a junior varsity quarterback. You wouldn't condone those kinds of plays at any level, and he made a couple of them last week. But in terms of that, you've got a guy who's thrown four interceptions all year. He throws three in about 45 minutes. How does he get that back, and what's the psychology involved there?
Well, he says he talks to Hoyer. I think Hoyer's probably a good one to talk to. That Boston College game where he even fumbled, if you remember Hoyer.
Right.
He came back, had a really great, great senior year, really a great career. I think that what he has to do is just recognize he had one of those days. And I might add, nobody was playing very well. Everybody seemed slow. No one seemed quick on the ball. Iowa was really sharp, aggressive, hungry, kind of like that Williamson against Catholic Central, the second game here in town.
Right.
You know, when you have a bad thing happen like happened to Iowa when they lost to, Wisconsin in that horrible game, they really were fired up. The fans were fired up, and really we just weren't up to that game. I guess that can happen to anybody in a given year. So, and I think Cousins, in fairness, the quarterback is the one who always looks the worst because the most noticeable, but nobody was running. No one seemed to be blocking very well. So he has to just recognize, hey, everybody has a game like that. Doesn't matter who you are. It's what you do on this day. The future is now, and this Minnesota game today is very important for him, the team, the fans, and the whole attitude all the way around. Big game psychologically today for both Cousins and the rest of the team, and the coaches and the fans.
You know, John, I said at the beginning of the season I thought Iowa had the best team in the league. I still think that. I can't imagine how they've lost these two games. They've basically squandered both of them. But I said that I thought that the matchups, just looking at who would be covering who, what the line play was going to be, Iowa would win 7 out of 10 games against Michigan State. Last week, there wasn't a 30% chance. There was maybe a 10% chance. Michigan State would have had to play so well, as you talk about what happened after the Iowa-Wisconsin game. And they were getting tremendous pressure at the line of scrimmage with the three-man front.
Well, you know, Jack, this may surprise you, but I never want to lose anything, within reason. But that was a much easier loss when the game was over right away than that horrible one of a year ago, where we lost on the last play. I think when something's that bad, you can kind of sit back, you can study it, you can observe it, you realize that you just did everything wrong, and the odds of you doing that again just aren't really going to happen. So, and remember, we beat Wisconsin quite easily here, and then they go and beat them up there. So every week is a different little game, and I might add that Iowa game at Northwestern is not a gimme before that Ohio State game. So they could run into some turbulence along the way, but on that given day, it's just one of those days. It was Iowa's game. It's like when that Wisconsin team here came in with John L., number 4, I believe, in the country, and we just ran right off the field. There are days that everything goes wrong, just like there are days that everything goes right. And that was one of them. And, that's a learn from it, move forward, fall down 7 times, get up 8. The idea, you just keep getting up and fighting and trying.
It's interesting, John, the psychology of being a senior quarterback. And we saw it with Brian Hoyer, you mentioned. We're seeing it this year with Ricky Stanzi. Last year, he was spectacular at times. He made big plays, but you never knew where he was going to throw the ball. This year, he has 2 interceptions all season.
Right.
So when you're in that situation and the players have complete confidence in you, it bodes well for Michigan State with Kirk Cousins being a junior.
Yeah, I really see that game last week as an aberration, Jack. I mean, I think that it's just one of those games that everybody was playing poorly, and it looked like everything Iowa did worked. We would be within just, an inch of the ball, inch of a tackle, and then we have a 3rd-and-1. We can't make it. We have a ball dropped over the middle, you know, for a free, it was either Cunningham or Dell early in the game. And sometimes the tone is set right away. And when you're down 14-0 with a wild, angry, you know, group of players and crowd and everybody, everything is fired up and it's really a real tough away game. Maybe you're not that used to playing. Just that everything started wrong and everything ended wrong. And that can just happen to anyone. It's how you respond to something like that. In some ways, Jack, it may be easier to come back from that than one of these devastating 1-point losses. So
yeah.
It'll be something to see today. My prediction is that I think Cousins and the team and coaches at home are really going to be fired up and ready to go. What Minnesota has to do is get their passing game and get off to a fast start and try to say last week was just the beginning.
Well, when you say aberration, John, I think that's a very good word. And, you know, that's okay. Teams are going to have bad games. I don't think this is a great Michigan State team. I thought it would be a very good one, a good one to very good one, and it has been that for most of the year other than last week. But I go back to the other times Michigan State has won 10 games, and I fully expect Michigan State will have 10 victories when it heads to State College. Now, whether it will wind up with 10, 11, or 12 remains to be seen. But I would be stunned if Michigan State is not 10-1 when it travels to State College on November 27th. And the other two times Michigan State has won 10 games, John, they have had similar performances to last week. In 1965, they won their first 10 games, and it seemed like no one could move on that defense. They held Notre Dame, Ohio State, and Michigan to minus 85 yards combined rushing, those three teams. But they go to the Rose Bowl, and they play a UCLA team that they'd already beaten handily
earlier in the year. Yeah.
And, you know, they fumble a punt on the five-yard line. They can't get out of their own way. And somehow, miraculously, despite a big edge in yardage, they wind up losing that game. And then in 1999, you remember Michigan State had beaten Michigan, and they're 6-0, and everyone is looking at great things. It turned out to be Nick Saban's last year. And they go on the road to Purdue.
I was there.
And Chris Daniels catches 21 passes against them. One guy, 21 balls he caught. And Drew Brees and company won 52-28. Then they go to Wisconsin, and they made Ron Dayne the Heisman Trophy winner. And they lose that one 40-10. And after that game, I remember talking to some Michigan State fans and my friend Steve Grinzel, and we heard what we've heard so often from Michigan State fans. Will they ever win again? Well, all they did was beat Ohio State, Penn State, and Florida. So you can have a bad game, and you can still have a heck of a team.
Well, I don't think there's any question. I mean, let's even take that Iowa team, the one that just lost to Wisconsin. I mean, that was really amazing. You know, calling a timeout, then throwing a pass where the guy can't get out of bounds. I mean, if you what the score wasn't as bad, but that was really a horrible game to lose. I think everyone can make a big mistake. Everybody can do things. Davey certainly did some of those at Notre Dame. If you remember some of his clock management things down there, so it's really how you come back. But you can get blitzed, and even the Rose Bowl team, if you remember early in the year, had a couple bad losses. So
look how many national championship games we have seen that have not been close.
That's right.
And it's not that the team that doesn't win is a bad team. It's on that day nothing works right, and then you try to press and suddenly a 7-point lead is 21.
Well, Jack, I think after today, assuming this game goes the way I think it will go, all of a sudden that Iowa game will drift into the background and may be used as locker room chatter to say never again. You know, that as Biggie did with that Michigan loss when he first came here many, many years ago.
We've talked about big games this year. Everyone said, well, the Michigan game is the biggest game since. The Iowa game is the biggest game since. The Penn State game for Michigan State is going to be the biggest game in a long, long, long time, and I'll tell you why. If Michigan State just does what it should do with an average effort the next couple of games, it will go to State College 10-1 and be guaranteed of no less than a chance to share the Big Ten title for the first time in 20 years. If things break right, it could be better than that, and it doesn't take a wild leap of faith to see Michigan State in the Rose Bowl. So
that's
a
right.
lot is on the line, but Michigan State has to do what it hasn't done since before Joe Paterno became head coach You have to go all the way back to 1965 for the last time Michigan State has won at Penn State. Dr. John Braccio, our guest, Regional Psychological Services, drjohnb.com. John, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
And Jack, those last few comments, you got me all fired up for the next three games. Talk to you later, buddy. Bye-bye.
All right. We will be back with more. Your calls, 393-3700, 393-3700. I want you to tell us what you think of the Michigan probation. Is it over? Is it in the rearview mirror? Is it a damning indictment? How does it affect Rich Rodriguez? We'll take your calls on that. And what's going to happen today at Spartan Stadium? 393-3700, The Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.